The Outskirts of Faith podcast is brought to you by Monkey Nut Audiobooks, creating audiobooks, podcasts and voiceovers that keep people listening. The
Outskirts of Faith! Hello and welcome to The Outskirts of Faith. You are very, very welcome here. This is a conversation that has been going on for around 2,000 years, and that has stemmed from the beginning of time. This is the podcast for everyone, and you are very, very welcome here. Let's see what's going on today's episode.
Do not deny the creator of the universe the joy of seeing you walk in that purpose. The answer to all of our needs is Jesus, and he's the greatest therapy that we'll ever encounter. When you're serving in some capacity in church, you have to know what the bigger goal is. Looking around and seeing family units being at church together, that wasn't my experience for 13 years. God's got a purpose and a plan in everything, even when it's the darkest of situations.
So today I'm joined by a lovely lady. I've had the pleasure of working with her over the past few months. She's absolutely fantastic. She is the team's pastor at Audacious Church, as well as the small group pastor. And she's also working with Kintsugi Hope. And I hope I said that right, because I said it to her earlier. Sometimes I get that word wrong and I really shouldn't. Julie Wilson, am I correct?
You are correct. You are trained in the ways of Kintsugi Hope.
Fantastic. So for people who don't know, why don't you tell everyone a bit more about Kintsugi Hope?
So Kintsugi Hope are a mental well-being charity with a Christian ethos. And they're all about taking the scars of the everyday person and then learning through 12 steps how to put them back together in a really healthy way that's going to help people's mental well-being. They are there to protect people from the effects of isolation and just helping them to get into groups to discuss feelings and their mental well-being in a really safe and supportive environment. And that's something that we're trying to promote across the whole of the UK with the help of Patrick and Diane Reagan. Look out for a well-being group near you if that's something that you feel you need help with right now.
Well, I'm really delighted that you mentioned this, because we got Patrick coming into Monkey Nut Audiobooks to record his book, Brighter Days.
That's right.
And I was going to talk to him because the Outskirts of Faith, we have a resource website, and Kintsugi Hope is going to be the fantastic place for people to go on. So strongly urge you listeners to do that. Yeah. So tell me about being a team's pastor at Audacious Church. What do you do there?
What an honour it is.
What I just did there, by the way, is because I've set up these cameras just so for the YouTube channel. And on this very one occasion, because we've just finished a project, haven't we? Yeah. So we're jumping straight in this to get this done before you go to Gloucester. One thing I didn't say to you is don't worry about the cameras. You can just tell them to me. We try and do that cool side shot thing.
Oh yeah, very arty.
Very.
I love.
Very arty.
Wow, you've seen YouTube before, have you?
Where do you think I get my things from? How do you do that, YouTube?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Oh my goodness. Audacious Church, what an honour to pastor the teams there. So I'm at one of the campuses in Chester and I look after over 100 volunteers there.
Wow.
It takes about 50 to 60 people to run a Sunday morning, and I'm responsible for all of those people. So I've got a great team around me looking after those people, but looking after their pastoral needs as well. And it's such an honour. And then also look after small groups, and I organise that strategy within our small groups and look after our wonderful leaders. We've got a great church there in Chester.
So. That's really interesting, because like with the Outskirts of Faith, people listen to this, we've got lots of different people coming from different angles, thinking about faith in a different way. So when I'm thinking about, you've got so many people to manage, is it quite easy for me to say that the common ground is just Jesus? And it's as simple as that, because people, you must have people with different feelings, different attitudes, different vibes, different energy. How do you do that?
I think it's about unification. So yeah, through Jesus, but also motivating people with a vision. So I think we were talking about this earlier, that without vision, people perish. And I think one of the key things about leading teams, especially when you're talking about volunteers, is just giving them that vision and pointing them all the time to, we're doing this to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our church. The teams that I manage, they're not just on a Sunday morning. They can be ministries that are happening throughout the week. But everything that we do is about unification, because society right now needs a unified approach. We need unification, and we get that through Jesus.
So that's really interesting. So I've got people who are going to be listening to this podcast and they're going to be like, do you know what? I want to go and explore a bit further. I want to. I haven't done. Something sort of stopped me back, but I want to. So what do you mean by vision? What does that mean? Unification? What does that mean?
I think it says in the Bible that when we serve, when we're part of something, that can be like therapy to our situation. And the answer to all of our needs is Jesus. And he's the greatest therapy that we'll ever encounter. And I think when you're serving in some capacity in church, you have to know what the bigger goal is. You know, have to know the why behind the what. And I think through being a teams pastor, so I've learned about people that when you can clearly show somebody what the way, the direction that you want, you're going in, that's motivation enough for people to serve the church and to recognize that that's what Jesus was doing on his time in the planet. He was here to serve mankind. That's what he said. And that was his motivation, and that was his goal, was to serve us. So that's our big vision. That's the one thing that unifies us all, that whether we're cleaning toilets, whether we're making coffee, whether we're preaching from the platform, the thing that unifies us all is that vision to serve mankind and to serve the church.
Amen to that. Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, what I love that you did there is it's because some people say, they just mention the word Jesus. They just say, serve Jesus. But actually, I think that's quite hard to digest sometimes. Yeah. And it's not until what you just did brilliantly was to remember that Jesus came here as a physical man and went through all of this serve.
Yeah.
And even if you just go out and say, right, what am I great at? Or what am I going to do today? And go and be the very best that you can be. And you think, what would Jesus, those bracelets, WWJD, are they, what would Jesus
well,
do?
Well, in our church, we say, what would Julie do? But, you know, obviously joking.
I'm never going to look at those bracelets again the same way. But it's true. It's like suddenly you find that you're kind of getting rewarded in so many ways just by serving.
And it's serving within your passion as well. So God's given each of us gifts and he's given us abilities. And I want people who are serving on team for it to be the most joyful thing they've done that week. And if it's not, then you're on the wrong team. So find something that you can put your all into, that when you wake up in the morning on a Sunday or whenever you're volunteering, you've got that spring in your step that gets you out of bed. Like, and for some people that is cleaning toilets, and for some people that's praying with somebody, for somebody else that's welcoming people in the car park and making people feel valued and special as they're walking into church. Whatever your passion is, that's where you should be serving. And if you're not getting joy from it, you shouldn't be doing it. Go and do something else. Do something that makes you happy, because that's the reflection of what God's put inside of you.
Do you know, it's so funny. We were talking earlier on about different voices, weren't we? Something I'm quite passionate about is that everybody has a different voice and approach things from a different angle. Yeah. But often people get pulled to be like a certain someone. But I was saying that you do get drawn to different people. And the language you're using right now, I'm very much on board with. I'm like, yes, I completely agree with that. And it does, it makes you feel good. And why would you deprive yourself of that?
100%. And I think, you know, maybe volunteering's got a bad reputation in the past, but it gives you an opportunity to do something that you might not do every day of your life. It gives you an opportunity to plant yourself into something that just gives you that joy in your spirit, but it's not what you'd normally do in your 9 to 5. It's something different. It's something out there. And God wants to use us in all of our fullness, in every skill and capacity that we've got. But if it's not sparking joy, then please just stay in bed.
People are going... And it's interesting, because volunteering as well, you're right about the press, but you could volunteer to open a door for someone.
Absolutely.
You can volunteer to pick something up, to make someone a cup of tea. You can volunteer to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, small things, isn't it?
It's small things.
So we're talking the outskirts of faith. So, you know, you do some great work, but have you ever found yourself on the outskirts of faith? Yeah. And if you have, what did that look like? And if you haven't, have you worked with people who were on the outskirts of faith and you found that? And what did that look like?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Christian family, really strong Christian family, with parents being church leaders, et cetera, et cetera. And, but I found that I wasn't walking as passionately as them. Let's put it that way. I needed to find out for myself what Jesus was all about. And my parents were really good at giving me space to do that. I think sometimes as a pastor's kid, you can have a pressure on you to act in a certain way and be in a certain way. But my parents just gave space for God to make himself known to me personally. So I was living a revelation for myself and not through them. So there were years when I was not a Christian. I was away from church and eventually came back to church. But by that point, I was getting married, and I was married to a person who didn't have the same faith as me. And that created barriers within the church, because I knew I had a strong faith, but I'd made a commitment to my fiancé at the time, and in the process of me coming back to be a Christian, I'd made a commitment to him. But I'd always felt a sense that God had got something for Richard as well as me. And you hear all those stories, don't you, of people who marry outside of their faith and then they spend their life miserable, basically, because they're yoked to somebody who doesn't necessarily believe the same thing that they do. And that's a big challenge. And for 13 years of my marriage, that was my story. It was coming to church on a Sunday on my own, looking around and seeing family units worshipping together and being at church together. And that wasn't my experience for 13 years. But I declared over my family that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know my parents were praying and fasting and doing all the things to encourage Richard to become a Christian. And so in those days, I was on the outskirts of faith because I didn't necessarily match the image of what was accepted at that time in church. So very much on the outside looking in, but with a strong faith and with a belief that things could change.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, because also, you know, everyone's story is different. I think that's the point, you know, is that there is a door for everybody, no matter where you are, what it looks like. You know, the Outskirts of Faith logo, we've got these little doors on it, and people are going into these doors in different ways. You know, people fall for it. I've mentioned before on a podcast about Michael Emmett, where he said, Jesus loves the gutter. That's what he says. But Jesus just loves. And you can, and at any time, you never, ever have to feel, well, I'm in this situation, or I've done this, or I've been there. There's the door. The door is there anytime. I think that's great. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay. I've asked you to bring a little bit of scripture with you today.
Yeah.
And I would love it if you would kindly just read that to us and just tell us what it means to you.
I'm going to, but first of all, I am going to tell you that God did answer my prayers, and my husband got baptized 5 years ago and is now a strong Christian serving in the life of the church. So just for anyone who's praying for somebody in their family who's not a Christian yet, I just want to declare over them that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That is
so sorry. I just wanted to get that in there, because that's the truth of what God's done in our lives.
I'm so glad you did. You did that pause, you see, the pause where you look at me, where you stop talking. I'm like, okay, it's my turn to take over. I would have let that go on. That's amazing. So I suppose you said about your family. How did they feel when they found out?
Well, it's a bit bittersweet, because in the process, my mum was my biggest prayer warrior for Richard. But she always knew that he would become a Christian. But unfortunately, she died of cancer before she got to see his salvation. But that played a part in Richard's journey. And just through lamenting that situation, it really played a part in his journey of coming to know who Jesus is. And even though it was a really sad time, God's got a purpose and a plan in everything. And even when it's the darkest of situations, God works all things together for good.
And all that prayer leading to that was so significant.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
I'm delighted. I also love how your face lights up when you're in that situation. So what's your key message? Just say it one more time from that story.
The key message is that God works all things together for good. You may not feel in that situation that anything good's going to come from this. You know, my husband's not coming to church with me. I feel on the outside. My mum's dying of cancer. That's not a nice story. That could potentially be sad, but when you give everything to God, when you serve him wholeheartedly, when you put him first in your situation, he will work everything together for good. And you just have to trust and be obedient. that's the only thing that we're called to do. And through that, there's joy and there's answered prayer.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
So let's move to the scripture. What did you bring for us today?
Yeah, so it's in Luke 11:28, and it says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And it's talking about obedience. And
read that one more time. Yeah. It's a bit slower. That'd be great.
"Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Okay.
And obedience is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. So I think it's a topic that God wants us to listen to. Just being obedient through our situations is actually one of the number one things he asks us to do. He doesn't ask us to change the world. He asks us to be obedient to his call and his purposes. And so that's what I'd like to talk about.
Okay, because I think that people, especially in today's world and the way people live their lives, they don't like being told what to do. You know, it's like, be obedient. You know, and they're like, okay, what does that mean? So we'll come to that word in a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the scripture itself.
Yeah.
So what are you, in the context of the scripture, what would you say it's saying?
I always like to link a scripture to what Jesus said in the Bible. And Jesus, there's a story in the Bible, isn't there, where Simon Peter's been out fishing all night and he's not caught a thing. All the fish have... they've swum off. They don't want to be in his big net. They've said no. And he comes back after a hard night's fishing, and then he sees Jesus, and, you know, Jesus, who is a carpenter, says to him, "Mate, you need to go back out again. Just put your net on the other side." And it's a really small request. And at that point, Simon Peter could have been like, "Well, I'm an expert fisherman. Thanks, Jesus. You're a carpenter. I've been out all night. I'm shattered. I don't want to go out anymore. So I think I'm just going to go and get a Mackey's and go to bed." But Simon Peter chose to be obedient in that situation. He chose to just think, I guess he was humouring him. He probably just thought, "All right, mate, I'll show you." There's no fish out there. But Simon Peter goes out again, puts his nets down. And then it says in the Bible that he two boats full of fish, so much so that the boats start to sink. And by that act of obedience, Simon Peter has got a massive profit for him, his family, probably his community as well. His small act of obedience has had a massive effect, just not on him, but on a whole community.
That's right.
So I like to link just almost throwaway phrases in the Bible to an actual story to make it applicable.
What I love, going by what we were saying earlier on and the stories, what I think is really significant in that bit of scripture is put it on the other side.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop. You haven't got anything right now. You know, you feel like you've failed right now. Mm. But you know, don't stop there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can go, you know, you can do it as many times as you want.
Yeah.
You can go back out, you know, it's fine. You know, go out the other side, put it on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for me, that's really significant.
Yeah.
And the reward is there. Now, you could easily just read that as the book and you're talking fish, but let's put it to your own personal situation by looking at things the other side, you know, turning to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Even if it's just to humour him, right?
That's cool.
But I just think in our obedience, there's blessing in everything that we do. And I think of my little boy, Ezra. He's 9 and we've started giving him pocket money and he thinks it's wonderful. But he's an obedient boy because he knows that if he's not obedient, if he speaks with his mouth full, mummy's going to take a pound of his spending money away. And he recognises that through obedience, that there's going to be blessing, that everything that he does, it's about listening, learning and being obedient. And I think in the Bible, it asks us to come to Jesus as little children. So we need to know that when we're obedient, it's not about a big man with a stick going, "No, you must listen." It's about listening and it's about obeying. And then on the other side of that, there's blessing, there's breakthrough, there's purpose, there's all the good things that God's got for us. And he asks us just to trust him. It's a trust thing, trust issue. It's about nothing else other than trusting somebody who knows a bit better.
I really feel like with obedience goes hand in hand with relationship.
Yeah.
And building on that relationship, finding out more. And like, I feel so happy and blessed that I can have a relationship with Jesus. Because, but that didn't just come like that.
No.
In case you didn't hear, I clicked my fingers. Hang on. Okay. It's something that you work towards like any relationship.
That's right.
So with obedience, you said about the man with the big stick. Absolutely. It doesn't look like that. And I think that that's how some people may see it. Oh, you have to be obedient. Well, actually, that's quite an aggressive kind of, otherwise there's a punishment sort of thing. But it's not. It's a loving obedience.
It's a gateway word. That's how I see it.
Okay, yeah.
It's like in my life, I know that on the other side of my obedience to forgive, I get peace. On the other side of obedience, when I'm going through a trial, I get breakthrough. It's learning that it's helpful and it's a pathway to other things. And when you're obedient in the small, then God's going to ask you to be obedient in the big, and then that's going to be life-changing. So there's always another side to the story, and I think that's the pathway of obedience.
Absolutely. Well, do you know what? I'm going to move on now, because this is the perfect link, because it's now time for...
What does it mean?
I really don't have a clue.
So every podcast... So I should just put it out here as well. We've literally just been working with Ellie Goldstein, haven't we?
Yes.
A supermodel, first supermodel with Down syndrome.
That's right, yeah.
She also has a Barbie. I've now just been on Vogue, cover. And she's hilarious.
So funny. Hilarious.
She's like, she literally... I don't usually get spoken to like this, but she was like, right, I want the edit done in 2 days. I was like, right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Because
but then,
such
but
a
then
joy.
She told you were very handsome and you quite liked that one.
I did. You know, you don't get to hear that. You know, I'm in my 40s, I'm 43 now. You know, you don't hear it very often. So I take it. Whatever you want, Ellie, you got it. You're great. Okay, so your word, staying on topic, is going to be quite obviously obedience.
Okay.
Okay, so I've just looked at it. I've got my iPad here. So just looking at it, it says, obedience is... compliance, this isn't biblical, this is just Google search. Compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority.
Mm.
So how do you feel about that and those words relating with obedience to God?
Gosh, well, it sums it up, doesn't it? You know, submitting yourself to a higher authority. If you know that that's going to lead to something good, why would you not do that?
Because the thing is, like, for someone like yourself who's been in the Christian faith all your life, that will come quite easy because you see the joy and the love around it.
Yeah.
But let's just say we're listening to this podcast now and we are on the outskirts of faith. And when you know there's more, you know that just one step away, there is this joy and this wonderful experience and this better life ahead of us. But you're suddenly saying, you've got to submit. You've got to submit.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that's like giving your, especially in today's world of social media, you're giving yourself away completely.
100%.
But that doesn't mean, does it, Julie, that you give away who you are?
Not at all. You enhance who you are. And you've got to remember that I've seen it from the other side of as well, of not walking with God. There was a period in my life when I wasn't a Christian and didn't have to submit to anybody and didn't have to be obedient. But did my life go well at that point? No, it didn't, because I was submitting to myself. It was just all about self, all about who I was. And
did you know it wasn't? Deep down, did you know that what you should be doing differently?
Yes.
So what was stopping you doing that?
Because I wanted to have fun. And it seemed that what the world was offering me right then was fun, because I guess I'd maybe felt restricted in my, I had a loving upbringing, but maybe looked at my friends and thought, that looks more fun. I want to give that a go. So did that. And in the time, it seemed fun. But after a year of doing that, it wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be. The grass isn't always greener on the other side.
So can you submit to Jesus? Can you follow the path of Jesus, submit to God, and still have a great fun time?
Oh my gosh, the fun that I have now is genuine fun. It's genuine. I think fun's the wrong word. It's joy. It's knowing that through all things, I can have peace. Through all things, I can get up in the morning and smile. I can laugh in the face of adversity because I know that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So what do I have not to be joyful about? And that's not a fake, oh, skipping through the tulips, everything's wonderful. It's just a piece in your mind and it's just a piece in your heart that it may all look like everything's falling to pieces, but I've got a steadfast knowledge that the creator of the universe has actually got it all in his hand.
Yeah.
And it's not an airy fairy thought. It's a genuine truth.
I love that. It's not an airy fairy thought. It's a genuine truth. And that's it, isn't it? The more you explore, you suddenly, even if you believe, I don't know if you would agree with this, Julie, but it's like you have belief and you feel the joy and you're feeling peace. But suddenly, and you think, okay, I'm sort of, I get that. But suddenly you kind of get deeper in your faith and suddenly you have a stronger relationship. And like, oh my goodness, this is actually better than I thought. Okay, that's really cool. Yeah, and then like, you go on and like, oh, it's even better than that.
Yeah.
So it's and I love that you used the word peace.
Yeah.
I think we could all do with a bit more of that.
Gosh, look at society at the moment. You know, if we could all walk around with a peace in our heart, what a difference that would make. What a different place we would be in. There's no underestimating what the power of peace in your life.
Well, let's talk about God. So where have you personally seen God working recently?
Oh my goodness. Where have I not seen him working recently? So my husband's going through a change of job at the moment and we just needed some clear direction for him. And God's just been so faithful in that. He's just answering, opening doors for us as a family that we just never would have imagined possible. Seen it in my little boy, Ezra. So we had him with IVF. And just miracle upon miracle in that process of things that shouldn't have happened naturally that did happen. Just a silly one that's just funny. To undergo the treatment, you have to be a certain weight. And it's a very female issue, but, you know, I'm going to talk about that as well. And I just was not getting to that weight for whatever reason. And it was D-Day. We were going down to the doctors and if you don't sort of hit this weight, then you pay privately, basically, to have the treatment. So we were ready to make that payment. I know that I wasn't at that target because I'd weighed myself that morning, but got onto the scales in the doctor's office and they must have been broken because all of a sudden I was sort of 4 pounds lighter than I had been that morning.
I'll take that.
I'm like, but Lord, if you could just make that 4 pounds, just go. When I got home, it hadn't gone, unfortunately.
There's going to be people listening to this podcast going, what?
The wonder drug.
Does it work like this? Get me the cake now.
But just things like that, where you just cannot explain it any other way than it being God.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so it has now come to the time for...
Splat! The gnat.
Splat the gnat. So I did actually have a little chat with you about this when we was having a cup of tea outside in the beautiful sunshine here at Monkey Nut. And basically I was talking about the gnat that flies in front. It's that nuisance. And we give it so much attention. It's something that's not godly. But we give it too much attention. We flap and next thing you know, we're standing up, trying to move away from it, where really we can just splat that gnat. And we can say, you know, hand it up to God and say, you know, this tiny, tiny little thing, you know, we can just, you know, just hand that to God and say, help me with this. And then we can get on with our day.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that that's in good hands and you can deal with that together.
Okay.
No matter how big or small it is, you're not alone.
Okay.
So we've heard some really interesting answers on Splat the Gnat, from school mums and dads parking up on double yellow lines, you know, to world hunger and things like that. But if you could splat a gnat, what would that gnat be?
People who are inauthentic. So people who say one thing but act in a different way, I think.
Ah, so not someone who says something and thinks something, or someone who actually acts in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I'm a good judge of character and I can, I feel that, you know, if I pray, then God will speak to me about people.
Mm.
And when people don't live up to that purpose that God's put in their lives, and I know that they could be so much more than they think they are, or they act in a certain way that's just not befitting of who they actually are, that really makes me sad. It's not necessarily you want to squash them, but just people not reaching that potential because they just...
I feel like for me, I kind of want to add on to that. It's kind of splatting the people almost like around them that's stopping them being. It's not necessarily them.
No.
Because I bet they would love to be able to do 100%. Their true authentic self.
Yes.
But those around them. And I, you know, I feel like I want to... You get me on one here, Julie. But I feel like I want to say that, actually, you know, if you're listening to this, you know, why don't you just big some people up today?
Yeah.
And big some people up tomorrow and just say to them, you know, what are you into, man? You know, what do you love? You know, what have you never done but you've always wanted to do? And show a bit of support to that.
Absolutely. God's created us all so uniquely. And when we deny that because of people's opinions around us or what the press tells us or however we're taught to behave, God has given us an identity. He has uniquely created us. Do not deny the creator of the universe the joy of seeing you walk in that purpose. Mm. Because if we all did that, what a difference we would see.
And it rubs off on each other as
100%.
Well.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. You know, rather than I've got to be like this way because the media tells me or my church tells me or no, just ask God who you are and then live in that purpose.
Love it. Love it. It's not worth pushing when you finish a line like that. That's great. Okay. So we like to do a little sort of 3-question game show. The way it works, I'm going to ask you a question. Now you might get all 3 right. You might not get any right, but it's irrelevant.
Oh, no, I get a score.
Yeah. Out of 3.
I can't cope with that.
If you get 1 right, I'll give you 2 million points.
You know, when you're driving and you're doing like the speed limit and then you get those signs that have got like a happy face or a sad face. Oh, that really fills me with terror. Yeah, I need to get the green face.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
I'll give you the green face no matter what.
Okay, good.
So some people got none, some got them all. And, you know, the questions, they might be easy ones for you. They might not. I don't know. But we'll find out. So I've got 3 here. But the whole point is that we're all learning together. You know, it's not like I just pull this knowledge out of my brain. I know some of the questions, some of them I looked online.
Okay, let's go.
So let's go with that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you the question. And then, was that a little hiccup?
That's there? A little
we'll keep
hiccup.
That in.
Thank you.
And then what we'll do, I'll ask you a question. You'll hear a bit of music. Wait till the music finishes. It's dramatic, just to warn you, okay?
Okay.
And then answer your question. Question number 1. You should get it. Who are... the pressure. You should get this, okay. Who asked Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Who asked Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?"
Pilate?
Yes.
Really?
Yes,
was it?
It was. And it was actually in Luke 23. That's why I thought you'll get it, because we talked about Luke, right? Okay. Because
I didn't know Luke. No. I think that's a bit of an unfair presumption.
Well, no, but I assume you've read. I thought, you know, you've read it. Because you got Luke 23, it says, then Pilate announced, because I love this, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And then in Luke 23, it says, "You have said so," Jesus replied.
Yeah.
Like, you have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Mm. Bonus point, how did he... And what did he do to signify?
I have no idea.
Like he washed his hands. It's like, no, you know. And I think that's really significant. You know, it's like he basically, the one making the decision, said, "I can't find anything wrong here," you know. Okay, so question number 2. Okay, yeah, you get a bonus 500,000 points just for taking part. Okay. Who takes Jesus's body off the cross? Question number 2. Who takes Jesus' body off the cross?
I want to say Mary.
It's Joseph of Arimathea.
I didn't know him either.
So. Yeah. I believe I looked this up because I'm sure it was Nicodemus as well. Yeah, it was. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Okay. Final question. For 10 billion points.
I don't want to play anymore.
Well, I like your default answer. Didn't know him. No, wasn't.
Although Nicodemus is a good name though, isn't it?
It's a great name. Yeah. Have you seen The Chosen?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
And the I can't remember the actor's name, but who plays Nicodemus.
It's a good choice, wasn't it?
Great choice.
I mean,
great
for short though, what would you call him? Knickers?
Knickers?
No.
No, probably not Knickers.
No.
Bit disrespectful. Nikki? Yeah, maybe Nikki.
Yeah.
Yo, N. Nick.
Nick.
Oh, no, I'd probably go with D.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Nicodemus, because because it's got...
D.
D. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's got that kind of like...
No one wants to see a 43-year-old rapping.
I'm not rapping, I'm beatboxing.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I've actually taught beatboxing. I had to do that once. Another day, another story.
Cool.
Well, not really. Yeah. How did we even get onto what we would...
I was delaying the third question.
Well, you can't anymore. It's coming. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Which gospel is written by a doctor or physician? You're so confident. You know it. So which gospel is written, we'll say physician, by physician?
Luke.
Luke. Luke.
Thank you for helping me there. Can I just say, right, I'm a pastor. I'm not a Bible scholar. I look after people.
Yeah.
And I can read.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And all I'm saying as well.
And I can research.
Yeah,
I'm old, so my memory doesn't work.
You're not old. You're not old. You're lovely. And the whole point is, look, don't make it, you know, please don't think I know these answers. You know, the whole point is we're all learning this together.
Thanks.
We're all learning this together, you know. So, for example, if I said, you know, so you got Pilate, right, didn't you?
I did.
And who takes Jesus' body off the cross?
Nicodemus.
And?
Pliers. Oh, no, that was a... That
pliers?
Was a, that was a bad...
Pliers?
That was a
pair of pliers.
That was a band from the 1990s. Nicodemus and Pliers, no?
And Joseph of Arimathea. So yeah, we've all heard something today.
Joseph of the Dream Coat.
Joseph of the Dream Coat. Okay, cue song. Okay, amazing. So after that, you got 2,700,000,064 points.
Amazing.
So well done. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been so much fun. I really love what you have to say. I can really see why you do what you do. And I hope if you listen to this, that you'll get as much out of this as I have. Would you kindly just close us down in prayer today?
Yes.
And then I'll just join in at the end just to finish off the podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Father God, I thank you so much that you want us to be obedient so you can bless us, Lord. I thank you that you've given us the tools and the ability to be able to listen to you and to operate in your authority here on earth. And I just thank you for all the people listening to this, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to them, let them know that you're real, and just be close and give people peace in their hearts as they're listening to this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, just to be with Julie and all the wonderful work that she's doing and the future and what that holds. And I pray for all of our listeners that our voices have reached forward and penetrated their hearts today, that they may talk about it and think about it and step forward and just take one step further to find in you, Lord, so they may learn what it means to be obedient and the wonderful rewards that come with that. So in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to check us out on our social media and also go on the podcast website. And also you can drop us an email from there. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Take care. God bless.
You've been listening to the Outskirts of Faith podcast. We would love more people to join our community. So please subscribe, share this podcast and join us on our social media. And of course, you can visit our resource website at outskirtsoffaith.com. This podcast was edited by Chris Byland, the YouTube video editing by Adam Moss, music by Matthew Salvage, and hosted by Elliot Frisbee.